And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Late night, midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to the season debut of Straight from the Source. Michael Russo coming to you from Twin Cities, and happy to be joined by my new colleague here in the Twin Cities, Joe Smith. Joe Smith in town for about 3 days looking for a home, and now you're in the midst of trying to change your flight to go back to Florida early because you got a hurricane coming down there.
Yeah, nothing like a good little bit of stress to start the season, right? I thought just a cross-country life-changing move would be enough for it, but yeah, checked out the Twin Cities with my wife Caitlin the last couple of days and trying to find an apartment for the first year, and then this Hurricane Ian, I think it is going to crumble through. And so you're like, you know, protect the one old house before we get a new one. It's going to be, hopefully it'll be okay for everybody involved down south.
Yeah, I still remember it was late August 2005. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, I came up here, interviewed for the job at the Star Tribune. I'm flying home through Dallas. My connection to Fort Lauderdale was canceled because Hurricane Katrina was coming over Florida. I had to call the Star Tribune and see if they'd put me up in a hotel in Dallas. That's when they offered me the job. Next day, I flew to Orlando, rented a car, drove down to Florida. And I mean, here you are dealing with the same thing. I also remember that first year in Minnesota, that first like month of the season, Palm Beach County got hit by a couple hurricanes. And I actually had to go down there to deal with some damage on my condo down there. So I know what you're going through. And now you're actually trying to beat the storm to go down there and not stay away from it.
Yeah, it's a hard decision to make. You know, you think you want to avoid the storm, but you also, you know, have a lot of things back home that you want to protect your house. Let's say if I want to sell my house, I don't want it to get ravaged by a storm or water damage like that, if I want to do that. So we're in the highest point in Pinellas County, which I think is 50 feet above sea level. It shows you how flat Florida is. So we're hoping we can maybe board our house, put some sandbags out, and just ride it out for a day or two, and then and see what happens. But yeah, it's definitely a stressful experience that adds on to what the last month has been like.
Yep. But we're glad that you're coming. I know you met with Dean Evason before the Wild played the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. Wild won 3-2 in overtime. What was your meeting like with Dean a couple hours before a game? I'm sure even a preseason game, I'm sure it was a little intense.
He's definitely a straight shooter, I'll tell you that much.
If you ask what he thinks of me.
Yeah, he's like, you're replacing Russo? I'm like, I don't know if you're looking forward to that or what. But no, you just told him about our coverage and a little bit about myself and my history and my experience in hockey. And, you know, he just asked about what it's like to, you know, to move. And he talked about, you know, theater. Both of us are interested in theater and like little off-ice stuff. Just want to get to know him a little bit. And building relationships, as you know, Mike, is so important in this business. And just like to get to know the new team that I haven't really only followed from afar for a while, really up close now. So I'm excited to kind of meet up with a lot of the players and the coaching staff just to get a feel for what they're like.
I remember in 2005 when I moved up here, I used to say if there was one team I knew least about in the NHL, it was probably the Minnesota Wild. Just, you know, down in South Florida, you just didn't pay
attention. You play it once a year, right?
Yeah,
and exactly. You really watch them on TV. And like, you know, in the playoffs, I watched the Wild and Blue series a little bit, but and you watch Kaprizov highlights and you see different things, but you know, the trade rumors from back in the day when Dumba and Tampa or whatever like that. So you kind of follow that, but it definitely is a kind of a re-education to get involved, especially with how smart and how passionate the Wild fans are. You want to be on top of your game when the season starts.
I'm sure Dean was disappointed when you didn't tell him that you were fully replacing him. It's funny. I was sitting down with Spurgeon, and this podcast, by the way, it's a really fun one. I sat down with Jared Spurgeon during the first intermission of yesterday's game. Sat down with Iowa coach Tim Oramy during the second intermission of yesterday's game, and I sat down with Director of Amateur Scouting Judd Brackett before the game, and all those little mini pods will be seamed into this by our illustrious producer, Jeff Domet. So you'll enjoy that. But when Spurgeon was asking me about you coming, he also said, he's like, oh, you've earned it, you know, to step away. And I'm like, well, sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not stepping away fully. I'll still be very much around the Wild.
No, absolutely. I think it's funny. I think they can give the barbers back and forth, and they probably wonder if somebody from Tampa or Florida knows hockey or not. But it's been fun covering such a historic run in Tampa Bay, and maybe they think I can bring them a little bit of luck here or there. So
it must be something special about Minnesota that all these Floridian hockey writers, even though we're not technically Floridian, right? You're from Michigan, I'm from New York, but all these Floridian hockey writers want to come here. I before me was Chris Snow, who came from Boston, but before him was Tom Jones, mm-hmm. who worked for the St. Pete Times forever. Now still is a good friend of yours down mm-hmm. in Florida, good friend of mine as well, worked for Pointer. But he came here. He was the first ever Star Tribune hockey writer covering the Minnesota Wild, and then he left, went returned to Florida. Yeah. But there's just something about Florida hockey writers that just want to come to this incredible market.
It's crazy too. And Tom Jones was one of the biggest supporters of making this move, because having experience, albeit it was 20 years ago, covering the Wild, but he just loved the Twin Cities, the area, and couldn't speak more highly of that, of the market, and kind of having the change of pace from living there in Florida for a while. He did come back for different reasons, and I know his wife loves it back down in Florida as well. So it's kind of an interesting trend there of people that, you know, were really good in their field that decided to make the change, and a lot of people ended up living here for a long time. So it could be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, and Tom covered the dog days of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Oh my Lord, did he cover a lot of losses during those Jacques Demers eras, and they were battles, especially those Florida Tampa games with all the enforcers and both those, you know, Paul Laws and Peter Worrell, Sandy McCarthy, Darcy Tucker, all those guys. Mm-hmm. So it was a crazy time. Lots of blood shed on the ice. And Tom is still one of the best writers around, one of the funniest people I know, and just a pro in his field. Yesterday, as I mentioned, the Wild beat the Colorado Avalanche, a split squad game, 3-2 in overtime. Marc-Andre Fleury got the start, 12 saves, 12 shots. He was outstanding in 31 and a half minutes of work. Yes, for Wallstat came in. The Wild made it 2-0 with Wallstedt in net. Then he promptly in the third period gave up, in less than a minute, two goals. Not entirely his fault, but he goes out and gets the victory with 11 saves. Marco Rossi, outstanding game. Looked like he belonged. Two assists, including the one on the overtime winner where he showed incredible patience and skated around a guy, attacked the net, faked the shot, sold the shot, and put it right on Ryan Hartman's tape for the winner. Ryan, I thought, was the best player on the ice. Hartman, you're going to learn. This is one heck of a hockey player. I think he got this rap in Chicago and Nashville, like he was some fourth liner. But this is a first round
top
pick,
line player,
34 goals, and he thinks he's going to do it again. And not only yesterday was he all over the net and all over the puck and creating rekindling the chemistry they had with Kaprizov last game, but he is so good defensively, great stick. Knocks down exit after exit in yesterday's game. And, you know, the way exhibition games are, veterans don't like to show up in these games. They don't want to get hurt, nothing. Mm-hmm. Ryan Hartman came to play yesterday.
He did. And I think you mentioned Rossi too. And it's what's intriguing to me is always the decision making by the brass and coaching staff of what does this guy need to do to make the team, right? And a lot of times you see it is where guys kind of force coaching staff's hand, right? They have to, if they're that good and the teammates know that they deserve it, then it's hard to take him off that team. So I think that's what Rossi can do the rest of the training camp. That'll move him on a chance to play in a regular role, which maybe he might deserve. So I've seen before with Braden Point, forces his way onto the team that never left. And you could see with some players too that just know it's their time and then seize that moment in exhibition season.
Cal Clutterbuck is one of those guys, came up once from Aaron Gabbert, got hurt in Florida and just never left. And about 2 months later, he realized his car was still at the Houston airport and he owed about $2,000 for the car. Just was stuck in parking. So Rossi played well. Kalen Addison, outstanding game. And obviously the door is wide open for Addison to make the team because they traded Kulikov. Merrill is hurt. So Addison comes on, and where they need help is the power play. And what does he do yesterday? He gets five shots on goal, including the power play goal, after a couple great games by great plays by Rossi and Kaprizov. Kaprizov had a goal and an assist, five shots, left the game early after getting hot friendly fire, hit in the left ankle by a Freddie Goudreau shot, heavy shot that just sort of nicked him. Went to the bench, played one shift in pain, labored through it, and then finally the trainers basically forced him to leave the game out of precaution. They're saying he's okay. We'll see if he's on the ice at practice today. But that's the reason why Marco Rossi was out there in overtime yesterday, and that's what a young kid needs to do, is take advantage of that situation. He absolutely did it. So Addison played well. Rossi played well. Up and down the lineup, Foligno had an interesting game, nine hits, a couple penalties that led to 5-on-3s, each of them. Erickson Ek all over the net, surly as ever. I was joking with him after the game. I thought he was going to kill the ref. Mm-hmm. He was cross-checked in the face in the first period after leaving game six last year, getting friendly fire from Dmitry Kulikov. He gets it right back in the teeth, and he was livid. Mm-hmm. But he had five shots on goal. Hunter Haidt, Caden Bankier, and Petrovsky, all really quality prospects. Didn't get a ton of ice time on the fourth line. But Beckman played well. Mason Shaw had a great chance to give the Wild the lead in the third period, but wasn't able to cash in there. Defensively, it was interesting. I thought David Spacek really was quiet and pretty good in the game. Lambo started well. Ryan O'Rourke started well. Both of them had some funky moments late in the game, but wound up getting some good experience here. And we'll see how long. Ryan O'Rourke is obviously going to Iowa. Lambo, Spacek, Petrovsky, these guys are eventually going back to junior. And we'll see what happens with them. The Wild were doing cuts after last night's game, so by the time this podcast comes out, we might find out a couple of those guys are gone. What are you looking forward to most once you get sort of integrated here? I know you already, what I love about you, Joe, is you always come out with these outside the box story ideas, and you got three or four already in the works, and you're not even in here full time yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the exciting part for me, it's like just a clean blank canvas. You know, I know you've covered this team exhaustively over the years, and you've written probably every, Marco Rossi or whatever, story there is. But it's fun for me to just find new creative story angles on the same people. And with what my strength was in Tampa is how many Steven Stamkos stories you can do and Victor Hedman stories to do. So as much as I love those players and covering that team, it's exciting to go with a fresh eye, look at certain players, Galagoski or even like a Zuccarello or a Matt Dumba, who's going in through an interesting year this year. So I think, what I'm looking forward to is not only just meeting these guys, but getting another feel for another part of an angle we could write on these guys that the fans would appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a couple already in the works. And again, I'll be covering the rest of training camp as Joe gets his life uprooted to Minnesota. I got a really cool Jake Middleton story in the works. I got together with Ryan Hartman after the game for a while yesterday and gathered a bunch of stuff that I'll be writing in the upcoming weeks. I plan to write about Jesper Wallstedt, he told us, is the way you pronounce his game, by the way. His name, he told us that after the game last night. I'll be writing about him. Got a really cool Marc-Andre Fleury story that's already in the can, that's running October 11th. So a lot of really cool stories on the pike. I think opening night story, I'll be doing something on Kaprizov and Zuccarello. So a lot of really cool stuff that you'll be seeing in The Athletic in the upcoming weeks. Again, Jared Spurgeon sat down with me yesterday during the first intermission. A really cool conversation about his expectations for this team this year. What he did this offseason, a relationship that he already has with Sam Steele. And we talk a lot about the injury that he played through from before the Winter Classic, actually cost him the Winter Classic, and eventually he had to go under the knife after the season. So we talk about that. I sat down with Tim Army. You'll want to listen to that interview. He breaks down all the players that he expects to have in Iowa this year. He talks about how he's going to be splitting guys like Wallstedt and McIntyre and Nett, and goes up and down the lineup as only Tim Army can. And then Judd Brackett. We talk not only about this incredible draft class that he just had this past year, but this upcoming 2023 draft as well. And of course, we talk about my story that I wrote on his restaurant, The Port. So really good podcast ahead. Thanks to Joe Smith. You'll be reading a ton about from Joe coming up. Joe's first story that's going to run, I think, the Monday before the season starts is already a really funny one. And again, a creative idea that only Joe Smith can come up with. So thanks, Joe, for joining. And we'll be talking to you more here in the upcoming weeks.
Absolutely. Hopefully the hurricane goes by us a little bit so I can be safe and sound and back up here in a few weeks. So.
Yep, that's what we're hoping for. Well, thanks, Joe. And here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, Spurge, haven't seen you since the end of the season. You don't age. For 12 years I've known you, you don't age.
Oh, either
just,
do
it's
you.
So annoying.
Well, yeah, we got
I just
good
get
genes.
Wider.
No, so, you're looking good.
Yeah. So how is the Spurgeon clan? Your dogs, your kids, your wife?
Yeah, we're doing good. School started back up a couple of weeks ago, about a month in now. So I think Danielle's happy to get him out of the house a bit. But now sports for them are getting going as well, and as well as us going this past week. So things are getting busy.
How was, you know, obviously a disappointing end to a really, really fun year for you guys. How were you able to digest it as the captain, as a player, as a team?
Yeah, obviously this year took a bit longer to get over and a bit more anger with it, just with the team we had in the regular season. And after a couple weeks, you sort of just look back at things and see just within yourself what you could have done better, and team-wise as well, what went wrong and what you could learn from throughout the playoff series and stuff like that. And I think we have a group of mature people, and obviously we knew there's going to be some changes to the roster in the upcoming season with the situation we're in, but just the people that we do have in that room care a lot and took it to heart. And I think from the beginning of camp this year, there's been a great intensity to it, and just still a bit of anger left in us.
Yeah, and I know you guys don't use excuses, but I mean, even just talking to Dumba and Foligno and knowing what they were going through health-wise and what you went through really from before the Winter Classic all year to get yourself ready for games. I mean, is there a part of you that just wonders where this team, you know, and there were a lot of other guys banged up, where this team could have gone if you had a full slot, you know, a bunch of healthy guys in the playoffs rather than, you know, really half the team pretty much debilitated?
Yeah, it's... You always wonder that, but at the same time, there's lots of teams going through that as well. But it just comes down to how you're playing at that time. And obviously, there's guys that are playing through stuff, but I think as you go throughout the year, there's teams that go through that as well. So obviously, it was an unfortunate timing for some of those injuries to happen, but that's no excuse for going into the playoffs and losing out in the first round.
Looking at this team now that you bring back, I mean, still a lot of talent on this team despite losing, you know, Cam Talbot and obviously Kevin Fiala, Dmitry Kulikov. What's it been like these first 3-4 days of camp, and how good do you think you guys can be?
Yeah, it's been great to get to know the guys as well. The week before camp, I think we pretty much had everyone in as well for the informal skates, but I just think from the past years and just the teams that we've had, just the pace of practice and the way Dean runs it, that we have a very quick team with the new guys as well coming in, and the spots that are open, there's a lot of competition and obviously a lot of skill as well, but there's things that we've talked about already in camp that we need to improve on with special teams and whether it's power play, penalty kill, and I'm just going from there. But there's, like I said, we talked about learning from last year, maturing from that situation. And we have some guys that went through the regular season for the first time as well with the young guys last year. So they got another year under their belt.
From a layman's standpoint, can you discuss some of the tweaks that we'll see on the power play and the penalty kill? It looked like watching practice this week, the penalty kill was the big one that was just obvious to me that you know, much more aggressive, different forechecks, things like that.
Yeah, we've worked a little on power play, but nothing too intense yet. But
yeah, it looked like more routes and things like that.
Yeah, just more breakouts and stuff like that. Nothing really in zone yet, but for PK, it was more about being more aggressive and just right off the get-go, from not waiting for a bubbled puck type thing, from right away just being more aggressive, not letting them get set up and getting those clears, and change the forecheck up a bit to be more aggressive as well. So there's still some things we haven't worked on, but from the first, I think it was first day of camp, we've been working on those things.
Yeah. I mentioned the injuries. I mean, how difficult was it for you to get ready for games last year? I mean, I can't imagine the discomfort that you were playing with. I used to see the treatment that you were, you know, you had long treatments after games, before games, and things like that, and obviously the disappointment of not playing in the Winter Classic.
Yeah, it was a long, long year, and obviously the training staff does a great job, and you just sort of put in place a plan to go through, whether it was before practice, before games, and then certain things after games, and we just had to stick with it to make sure that everything was good as possible. And obviously, after season, getting a procedure done, so that definitely helps with the pregame routines now.
And the procedure was not in Philadelphia.
It was not. No, no.
That's an inside joke between Spurge and I. Looking at your left now, you can see Jonas Rodin to your left of you, not Jake Middleton. Obviously, Jake and you really were a quality tandem down the stretch, but Dean's made no qualms the fact that he would love to play you guys against the McDavids and the McKinnons of the world to start the season. How exciting is this to have a guy like Rodin on your left? I know you've played with him, obviously, before, but now it looks like potentially full-time.
Yeah, well, I think we've maybe started together once, once, maybe twice, but obviously, there's been some games where we've been thrown together, and it's been fun the last couple of days. He's such a good, underrated player that does everything well from the offensive side to just getting out of situations that no one else can get out of. He's a very slippery player and very underrated with the skills that he has, and it's been fun the last couple of days.
Yep. Can you believe this is your 12th season here? I mean, it's amazing to me.
No, it's pretty crazy how fast it goes, and obviously very, very lucky to be here still. And I think as you get older and every year you appreciate it more. I think the first couple of years you're sort of in awe of being here, but you realize how hard it is to win and all that it takes to put into that to get to that point. So we definitely don't take anything for granted.
Sam Steele, do you know him well from Edmonton?
So my brother actually coached him when he was like 10 years old. So it's a funny story. So him and Jost were on the same summer hockey team, and then I ended up like skating in a scrimmage against him a couple years later. So I've known him for a little while from when he was probably met him when he was like 10, and now we're teammates.
And obviously he had an unbelievable junior career, Sam. Back then, did you see it that this kid had special skills? And do you think that he's only 24 years old and he's coming in unbelievably motivated after the Ducks let him go. Do you see him being able to get back to maybe the form that we saw coming out of his draft year?
I think so. And I think that comes with just confidence and people believing in him as well. He has all the skill. He's fast, strong, great hockey IQ, but there's sometimes you just get a little thrown behind the eight ball, and then it's tough to dig yourself out of that. So from a young age, he always put up points, could score goals, and in practice, shootouts right now, and even the pregame or pre-informal skates, he was showing us all those skills as well.
Yeah, and if there's no other person that he could look at more as a better example of how to deal with adversity than you, with your path to get to the point that you were to sign with the Wild and then become eventually their captain. Final question for you, Jared, just expectations into this season. You know, we were talking to Matt Dumba about this yesterday. I mean, you know, because last year ended so disappointingly, it'd be easy to just say we just, you know, let's get to the playoffs and we got to worry about then taking that next step. But first you got to get there. So what are the, you know, how do you, you know, not get ahead of yourselves this year and start to think, all right, we got to make that next step when you realize that there's also 82 games that you got to establish yourselves?
Yeah. Well, regular season is a very hard thing to go through. It's long and teams are so good these days. There's not one team that is an easy game to go against. So I think you just have to focus on it in segments and just little segments, whether it be five game ones and that you want to win them. But at the same time, it's just building your game. And obviously, with like we've mentioned before, a lot of new guys coming in. So this camp is important for us. But getting out to that good start again, and I think all of us would have turned in maybe a not as great of regular season to go farther in playoffs and win it all than have a great regular season and lose out that first round.
Well, I'll let you back to your business meeting here in the suite. Looking like from the press box into your suite and seeing like 35 guys in business suits, it's pretty hilarious.
Hasn't been like this for a while with the COVID camps and everything like that. We've been small numbers, so three groups. It's probably the first time I've seen a couple guys since the first day of camp with us being staggered and stuff like that. So it's fun to see your teammates again.
Yeah. Well, Spurge, looking forward to covering your first exhibition game coming up here this upcoming week, and definitely covering you once again on this Wild team. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks for having me,
Mark. Yep. And that is Jared Spurgeon. Here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, very happy to be joined by Tim Army, the fifth-year Iowa Wild coach. And Tim, with COVID and everything that you've gone through in Iowa, I know last year at the season-ending podcast that we did, we talked about just the number of crazy COVID disruptions that you guys had last year. You lost your entire staff at one point. But it probably feels like 20 years that you've been in Iowa now, even though it's only your fifth.
It seems quick, and yet, like you said, with the season being canceled, at the end of 2020, we had a really good team, too. And then not starting until late, until February in 2021. It feels like a little bit longer, but it's been a fun 4 years so far, I can tell you that.
Colorado Avalanche staff, you were there from 2011 to 14. 17. You were there. You had a front row seat to Nino Niederreiter's game-winning goal in 2014. Now you're on the other side, but now you're watching your old team here. And what are your memories of that series?
It was a great series. It was a homer series till game seven.
Yeah,
we had the lead 2-0, and the Wild really gave it to us in game three. And Varley was outstanding, and we got it to overtime. Varley delivered us the game. We needed to win it.
Yep.
And that's the goal Granlund scored.
Yep.
And then it kind of changed the dynamic of the series. It was really a homer series, and it went back and forth in game five. The big goal was Spurge's goal.
Yeah.
With late in the third, we were up 4-3. We kind of had things under control. We had an over-back check. Paul Stastny and Nate kind of both came back too deep, and it went to the Spurgeon coming late, tied it, and then Niederreiter scored in overtime, but it was really tight series.
Yep.
It was an outstanding series.
Yeah, I remember incredible patience by Spurgeon there to wait for Nathan to fly by, and Nathan had an unbelievable series, if everybody remembers his rookie year as well. Timmy, a big year, obviously, in Iowa. You have to be super excited about the guys that are going to be down there, starting with the guy that we just saw in net there at the end of the second period and the third period of this exhibition game, Jesper Wallstedt.
Yeah, he's obviously a great young prospect and only 19 years old. We'll have good goaltending, however it shakes down, but we're excited to have him for sure. We had Capo for 2 years. Capo was outstanding. We got more and more prospects coming. So, we're excited to have him, and good goaltending is the key to your team.
How will you handle it? Obviously, you got the veteran Zane McIntyre, who came in last year and played really well for you, but then you got the first-round pick that you have to, make sure that you're taking care of as well to grow him for the future.
Well, he's going to play, and we were talking yesterday. Capo played, actually, 39 games his rookie year. Hammer played 33. Hammer had injuries. But we're going to have the same sort of approach with a veteran in Mac, and then depending how everything shakes down here at the end of camp. But and Jesper, he's going to play 30 plus games. I expect him to play 30 upwards of 30 into the mid 30s, and we're only playing 72 games next year, so he's going to get a lot of time. And what we'll see how it goes. We'll monitor him because it's a big step. Capo went through it. It was in the All-Star game. Was a goalie of the competition in the All-Star weekend, then he got tired. So we'll monitor Jesper, but he's going to play. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's an important player in our organization. So if it's him and Mac, we're going to have really good goaltending. He's going to play a lot of hockey, just like we did with Capo. And again, we'll monitor how he's doing, but he's obviously going to be playing.
Yep, and Andrew Hammond was your goaltender down the stretch and in the playoffs that year. And then look at the next year. Capo was unbelievable until COVID interrupted the season.
He was the goalie of the year, and Hammer played in the playoffs that year. But Capo took that experience. He took it all. He grew over the summer, and you could see he was a different goalie in training camp in 2019. I said to you, I never thought we were going to lose when Capo was in the net.
Yeah.
He won the American League Goaltender Award, and he's been in the NHL since. So we see the same kind of growth, and it's the biggest challenge of all, being a goaltender in pro hockey. But he's a good one. He's going to play, and we're gonna hopefully have him ready to play here eventually.
I love Marco Rossi's first 3 days of training camp, just watching him in practice, and then we're watching him this exhibition game. Just assisted on Kalen Addison's goal, and he just looks so much more at ease right now than we saw him in any exhibition games or practices last year.
No question. It was a big step in camp last year. He was outstanding in the prospects games, playing with Bolds last year. And then, yeah, it was a little bit overwhelming, I think, playing in the NHL and in camp and in the exhibition games. The year in Iowa was great for him. He played a lot of hockey, played over 20 minutes a game, played in every conceivable situation. He, too, got tired. But he had a terrific year, just under a point per game, and it was a big step for him. And you can see that year in the American League has paid good dividends for him because he looks like a different player. Certainly 12 months later, a completely different player, and he's had a great camp the first couple days. He's had a good game tonight. Nice play there on the power play goal, getting the puck back to Kirill, who made a nice play to Kalen. And, you know, he's stronger, he's more confident, he's more aware, more comfortable. The experience goes a long way, so... you know, we watch it closely because we want to make sure we're doing the right things. So we're really happy with where he's at right now. And, you know, now he's got, you know, a little bit more here to go in camp, but he looks good.
You have training camp down in Iowa early next month. You as a coach have to project your team. You know, when you're projecting it out, I mean, do you have Rossi and Addison there, or do you just assume right now that you're not going to see him at least to start?
Yeah, I don't anticipate having them right now. So we plan another way. And obviously if we were to have them, then, it's good for us, and we'll get them ready to get back up here. But I'm not anticipating that as we kind of put our team together, and we still got to get through camp. You got to be injury free again through camp. You know, John Merrill and Greeny are making their way back right now, so we'll see how everything shakes down, and whatever happens over the next couple of weeks, we'll see how everything sort of settles out at the end of camp. But I don't anticipate those two to start the year.
No. On the podcast that we did at the end of the season, we talked a lot about Adam Beckman in his first year, really predominantly in Iowa, and maybe some of the growing pains that he had along the way. You know, he had such a great camp here last year. How do you think he's handling this mentally? Because it does feel like it's almost like, you know, that we're almost not even talking about him. You know, we're talking about Rossi, we're talking about Addison, and maybe because they don't have a lot, you know, guy. Obvious spots in their top nine. We're almost not expecting him to make the team. How do you think he's handling this?
I think he's handled it really well. I thought he had a good prospects week last week. He played very well in Chicago. And if you look at him closely, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's winning more battles. He is really a more complete player now than he was a year ago. He's kind of exciting a year ago. We talked about this. The pressure was on Matt Boldy and Marco Rossi last year, and Becky kind of came in under the radar. And he had a really good camp, but I don't think his game was where it's at now. He's a better player. He looks stronger. He's had a good week of practice as well, good first few days of practice. He's a little bit under the radar, but that's okay. He's young. What's he going to be like in another couple of years? We've got a really good hockey player. His progress is good. I think he's in a great frame of mind. I don't think any of who we're talking about or what's being said beyond what's going on the ice, I don't think it's affected him at all. He's in good spirits. He's always upbeat. He's a great personality, and he is a more complete player right now than he was a year ago at this time, although he was close to making the team out of camp last year. The year in the American Hockey League has been really good for him. And again, wherever he settles, and if he's with us, we expect it to be a springboard. We expect them a big year and to really grow from where he's at right now.
Sean Chafee, two guys that Wild fans might see at times this season, maybe even a start. Who knows, right? Both them playing tonight. I'm always amazed at Mason Shaw. Multiple knee injuries, and yet it doesn't seem to affect his speed or his hustle by any stretch of the imagination. Same thing with Chafee. They both look like great pros.
They're really good players, and they keep getting better. Shaw's his fifth year now. And he did. He's battled some significant knee injuries. He's one of ours. He's grown up in this organization. His heart is you know, you just watch him play. He's got a huge heart, but he's very smart, and he's a good hockey player. Chafee's bigger. Chafee's very powerful, and he's got a great shot. Both guys are very good hockey players. Had tremendous years last year. And, yeah, they're also closing the gap, and they're on the cusp of playing in the – well, both played some games, Shaw's E3 – and Chafee too last year, but they're closing the gap now, and they're getting to the point where they've established themselves as elite American League players, and they're getting closer to that point of becoming a full-time NHL player.
Yep. Let's just move our attention to some blue liners. Reiner Rourke, I think he's having a great game tonight. Unfortunately, Damon Hunt working his way back from injury. He is skating in these in all the practices, obviously not playing tonight. And Simon Johansson as well. Three guys are going to be integral to you guys this year?
Yeah, they're going to be real important. And like Jesper, they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to play big minutes. And we're good because, you know, it's good because we got some real good veterans down there. And again, how everything shakes out at some point. But, you know, you got Mermy, you got Joey Hickens, you got Andre Schuster, you got some good veterans, Turner Ottenbright. So, you know, we're going to try to pair them with a veteran. And so that maybe helped their learning curve. And at some point, I think then they'll be able to play together. But all three of them are good young defensemen. You see their growth over the last few years. We're excited to have them. And yeah, and just like when we talk about Jesper, we got to get them out there. They got to play minutes. They got to play situations. But they too, like Becky, like Marco, like Kalen, like Chafe and Shawzy, they have made strides. They're getting closer. This will be the American Hockey League is a very difficult league, and that's why so many players go through it to play in the NHL. That's what they need, and you're going to see that growth to their game.
No doubt about that. Sam Hentschkes, you know, somebody Wild fans are really excited about, obviously, you know, from right here in the Twin Cities area and played at St. Cloud State. What do you expect from his first year pro?
We are too, and Sammy Walker too. You know, they both great speed. Sammy Hentges was outstanding in Chicago. He's big, he's heavy, he's fast, he's powerful. For me, he's that kind of pure north-south winger, and he can wire the puck. He's got a good sense. He doesn't waste any time. He gets it there. So we're really excited about both Sammys, if you will, and we're really looking forward to it. And again, they're young players, they're prospects, and the American Hockey League is going to draw more out of their game. And obviously, the goal is to get guys ready to play here. But they're two good players. Would play with a lot of speed. They're smart. They shoot it. They'll play special teams. I think both can kill penalties. Both can play in a power play. So, like all these young guys, we've got to get them in there. They're gonna play, just like the guys that have played for us and have been and come up here. The Boldies, the Sturms, guys like that. It's gonna be their opportunity to really blossom. But they're gonna get that opportunity, and we're excited. They're gonna. All these young guys are going to have a big impact on our team.
Tell us about just some of the veterans that the Wild did sign this year, not just obviously for you, but depth players up here, Peyton, Nick Petan, Fogarty, players like that. Do you expect that we'll see a little bit of them? Maybe even, you know, a guy like Petan might be perfect for a 13th forward role even out of camp.
I think you will. Mm-hmm. And he's a very talented player. Great mobility, great puck skill, sees the game extremely well. He can drive offense. Stephen Fogarty is a little bit different, big, long, great reach, right shot centerman, but really diligent, good in all three zones, and he's got some offensive skill. Mm-hmm. They're both a little bit different. They play a little different game, but if they're with us, they're going to have a huge impact. You know, when you think of your team, if they're with us, they're 1-2 in the middle, and they provide some different things, and so they can play with different guys, and I think will Stephen Fogarty help an Adam Beckman if they're both with us? Would a Chafee and Shaw be good with a Petan? These are things that you think about, and those are a couple of really good veterans. Andre Schuster's another one on the back end, another signing. These are really good hockey players, different. Obviously, Andre's a D-man, but big and long, can make a good first pass, good defensively, played a lot of games in the NHL.
Yep.
These guys will not only have a big impact on our team, they can play here in Minnesota, and most importantly, if they're with us in Des Moines, they will be a huge influence on our younger guys. And you can't put a price tag on how important those veterans are when they're playing with your young guys.
Two more for you, Timmy. Ty Ronning signed an AHL deal for you. Wild fans know his dad, Cliff Ronning, really well. You were really excited about watching him in practice yesterday. How good do you think he'll be for you?
I love him.
Yeah.
He had 18 goals in the American League. 18 goals in the American League's hard. I've been really, really excited about watching him in practice. He can skate. He's got a great stick. He's smart. He's got a good nose for the net. Mark Morris would really liked him. So when Mike told me that we were in a position to sign him, I had a sense of what he would be like. And I've heard, you know, from different people what he's like. And then when you see him, he's going to be an exciting player for us. And we need to produce more. A guy like that's going to help us. So same thing. We want to get more out of his game. Power play time, who he's playing with. You know, maybe he's playing with Fogarty, Beckman, and Ty Ronning. That could be a really good line.
Yep. Last one, and Mike, by the way, is Mike Murray, the Iowa GM that Timmy mentioned. How do you stay so energized? I'm always amazed with you. 5 years in the, back in the AHL. You've obviously been in colleges, AHL before, but you've been in this level as well. How do you stay so energized down in Des Moines?
I love it. It's easy. I always say, I never worked a day in my life.
Yeah.
I love it. And this is a great organization. I love being here. You know, you want to win, but you want to develop. You want to have an impact on players, and it excites you every day. So it's just I don't think I ever have a bad day when I get to the rink. It's just It's awesome.
Well, hey Timmy, as always, really appreciate it, and looking forward to getting down to Des Moines more often. I'll be there for the practice coming up on October 11th as well. So all Wild fans, especially one those down in Des Moines, hope to see you at Wells Fargo Arena on October 11th. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Michael. I hope we got enough questions in a short period.
No, that was good. That
hey,
was
that's
perfect.
Hard for me.
Thanks. That's Tim Army, and here's a word from one of our sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Very happy to be joined by Judd Brackett for the Wild's first exhibition game. And Judd, the last time I saw you, it was a little different spread than maybe what's up in the press box tonight.
Yeah, the popcorn's not out yet, but different look, but still maybe even a better view though from up here.
Yeah, no doubt. And of course I'm talking about going to the port this summer, and I mean it was still one of my favorite stories I've ever written, not just because you fed me and I opened up a couple bottles of wine and things like that, but it was just an incredible experience just going to your restaurant and just seeing how you know your second life.
It is my second life, mm-hmm. but also, you know, hearing you say how much you enjoyed it, that's what we want. You know, it's the experience, it's the food, but it's, you know, family atmosphere. We want everyone to leave, not just Mike Russo leaving, but we want everyone to leave and say, you know, let's go back. We can't wait till next summer, you know, so it is a lively spot. It's fun.
It is lively.
And, you know, but we do a little bit of everything between, you know, the raw bar, the entrees, the nightlife. We do music.
Yeah.
We kind of run the gamut.
Yeah, if you follow the port on Instagram, you know that the nightlife goes from like restaurant to like, you know, most popular place in town in about a second, it seems like, after about 9 p.m.
And it's Cape Cod, so it's limited, right? There's only so many spots where you can put a commercial restaurant. So if you want it, you know, you can dabble in a little bit of everything and almost required to because there's a need for it.
Right, and I'll tell you what, if you want to go to the port, you have about a month and a half left before they close for the season. So make sure if you're in Cape Cod to go there. Then you do have your other restaurant, which I joked, that's going to be my next trip, is just go there and do a food review on that place.
I love it.
Yeah. So,
Ember Coal Ember. Fire Pizza.
Right. Yep. And it's right about a block and a half away. Awesome area, great parking, all that stuff. So, Judd, last time we talked to you, it was coming after a couple weeks after the draft where you had a really quality draft. You know, we obviously two first-round picks and unfortunately can't come to camp because their pro seasons have started overseas in Ogren and Yurov. But we're going to see Hunter Haight play tonight, which has got to be super exciting for that kid.
Really exciting. And had a chance, obviously, played one of the games in Chicago, was coming off a little bit of an injury in the preseason, the OHL, but If Chicago is exciting, which I know it was for Hunter today, it's got to be, you know, a real special moment.
Yeah, it's those type of players that I'm looking forward to watching, David Spachik and some of these guys that you drafted in this year's draft, because it's not a lot of teams that, at least when I first started covering the league, you'd see first round picks maybe play an exhibition game, but very rarely would you see kids that are going to go return to junior in a couple days essentially play an exhibition game. It seems like the league has changed in that area.
I think it has. It's given, you know, some of the younger guys more opportunity. And, you know, and maybe this year, too, we're talking about, you know, Petrovsky and Spachik, two later picks. But they also had a chance to play at World Juniors this summer. So, you know, they're ready. They've been skating all summer. So that might be an exciting situation, too, where they already played some high-level hockey this summer.
Tell Wild fans about some of the players that maybe we don't write a ton about, and yet they're right up there as great, great, prospects in this organization. Pilar and Bankier, who has played really – every time I watch Masters, it looks like he's going to be a player as well.
Yeah, you know, that's the best part is they're kids, right? So we're watching the maturation process physically, mentally. They're growing with their junior teams into bigger roles. Bankier and Masters will be in Kamloops, and they're hosting the Memorial Cup, so big season in front of them. Right. But even coming out in Chicago and seeing, you know, Bankier's stride and knowing what he's been working on in the off season and seeing the fruits of the labor, and he's moving better. He's got a great brain. I'm excited for him tonight, too.
About a week or so, I can't remember, I think it was a week before your story ran or after your story ran, I wrote a big piece about Marco Rossi. I'd actually come to your restaurant from visiting Rossi. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing his preseason here. He's had a really great first 3 days of training camp. Billy Guerin's talked about it. Tim Army was talking about it yesterday. What do you want to see in these exhibition games that maybe last year that he wasn't, you know, he didn't show, but maybe wasn't able to show because of the, you know, having basically a year of no hockey and a very short offseason.
Yeah, and I think our expectations are different too. A year ago, he had missed a whole year of hockey. We wanted to see him healthy. We wanted to see him on the ice. You know, now we can raise that bar from last year. He can take, you know, the struggles or gains that he made and now bring him out here on the big stage and play with some, you know, older experienced players. But, you know, for Marco, his game's always going to be about details and support and hockey sense. Very cerebral player, and he's going to support the puck all over the ice and, you know, work on draws and win draws, and he's just a competitor, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in the mix.
Was his first year pro what you expected? I mean, you know, almost a point a game, you know, maybe hit a wall at the end like a lot of Europeans do, regardless of missing an entire year, and miss some games also, so his point per game ratio probably took a little bit of a hit as well.
Yeah, it's hard to put expectations on someone who's coming off, you know, a health scare that he had. We really didn't know necessarily where he was at, and could he perform night to night over and over through the rigors of it? And I think that's part of hitting the wall, you know, coming over and playing your first year in the American Hockey League. He had a tremendous start, certainly from the points and production standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I think he learned a lot in the second half too. Those struggles are good. That's what we want. We want those guys to go through some adversity and they'll be better for it in the end.
What do you expect the progression to be for a guy like Jesper Wallstad as a pro? I remember Kapo Kapkin in his first year, really first full year in the AHL. He had an unbelievable first half, and then he too hit a wall, and they had to play Andrew Hammond in the playoffs. And I assume that Wallstad, I know every goalie is different, but I assume Wallstad's also going to have an eye opener here in terms of what this pro game is like in North America.
Yeah, you know, right off the bat, he's got to adjust to a different size rink, right?
Right.
You know, pucks are going to get to the net a lot quicker from the wall here. I think we even saw that in Chicago, the first shot of the game. I think he just noticed it. You know, guys can get the puck off the wall and are in shooting position sooner. But you know what? A huge testament to him. You saw in-game adjustments that he made on Friday in Chicago, and you know he locked the door down for. I mean, he was outstanding for us. Kept us in the game and gave us a chance to come back. But he's gonna have growing pains too. He's gonna have nights where he's sharp and on and seeing pucks, and he's gonna have night where you know maybe there's more traffic, there's more bumping in the crease, things that maybe he hasn't seen. So he'll make adjustments, but. You know what, for a goaltender, he's got a high compete level, and he's also, I know it sounds, maybe cliche or not talked about enough with goaltenders, but his hockey sense is excellent. Mm-hmm. He can make adjustments, and he will, and that's what makes him so special.
I mentioned that Ogren and Yurov started their seasons overseas. What have you seen from their first couple of weeks as, playing over there?
Good Ogren, obviously just getting back into the lineup now. Mm-hmm. I'll be over there in 2 weeks and get a chance to see him play live, which I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great, they're obviously
drop down into the Allsvenskan League, but I think for his development, I think this is great. There's sort of an intermediate step between J20 and the SHL. So for Ogren, this is a chance to help a team get, you know, a prize franchise get back into the SHL and be a big part of it. So I'm excited for him there. And Yurov obviously, you know, got off to a very quick start, has been moved around the lineup a little bit everywhere from top to top, you know, top line to 13th forward. But you're seeing him skate, be able to keep pace, make plays, think the game, and doing it with some, you know, really established players.
Yeah, sounds familiar. That was the Kuznetsov. I won't say it, but it was the Kuznetsov same way. You know, all of a sudden, not playing, and next thing you know, he gets a letter, and after signing his new deal. That's the way it works over there. Let me ask you, like some of the defensemen that played in the World Juniors, obviously Carson Lambos, you know, didn't get a lot of playing time, was taken out of the first one. Ryan O'Rourke was part of it. Damon Hunt, unfortunately, again, last like shift of practice, it felt like, before the tournament, he gets hurt. He's now back skating every day in camp, though.
Yeah, the three guys in Canada, obviously, I think Carson had a chance in game one and a little overzealous, I think, the excitement of it, and, you know, made some reads, and they held him accountable. He's the youngest defenseman on the team, and as a result, you know, he saw his minutes and playing time, you know, turn to zero. But for him, that's still a great room to be around, a great experience to be in. It was a gold medal. Ryan O'Rourke, you know, I thought, you know, filled in and played a very steady, stout game when he had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we had multiple D there. I thought Pierrot and Faber were outstanding. I mean, I don't think Faber was on the ice for a goal against in the whole tournament. Logging big minutes, you can see the skating and awareness. You know, and I think we've talked about it before. There's more offense there. You know, with just his ability to read the play with quick outlets and transition, he's gonna help support offense. You know, whether it's not gonna be flashy, it's not gonna be end-to-end rushes, but he's a transition player for sure.
How many of the guys do you expect to be in the 2023 World Juniors?
We'll return obviously Petrovsky and Spacek, Pierrot, Ogren, and Hunter Haight was in Canada's camp this summer, so I think it's a tough roster obviously to make, but I think he's in the mix. So, you know, we're looking at maybe four or five again.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. And just lastly, you're now full steam ahead already. You mentioned going to Europe in a couple of weeks. I know when I'm coming late October to Boston, you're going to be out in BC doing some scouting. How's this 2023 draft looking? Now my favorite place in the world, Nashville.
This is an exciting group. 23 looks very strong. I actually just flew in this morning from Pittsburgh, was at the USHL Fall Classic for the last 3 days. You know, that league is strong. Canada's very strong. So it's, and I'm, like I said, headed over to Europe in a couple weeks. So it's the 23 class has been well advertised, and I think rightfully so.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a director of amateur scouting as popular as you are with an organization's fan base, by the way? I don't know if you pay attention, but you are the superhero of this organization right now.
Hey, look, this is a team effort across the board here. We all want the same thing. We want to win.
My thanks to Jared Spurgeon, Judd Brackett, Tim Army, and Joe Smith for joining this week's episode of Straight from the Source, the debut episode of the season. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to leave a rating or review. Get an annual subscription to The Athletic for just $1 a month for 6 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. I believe we have a really, really, really cool guest joining Straight from the Source next week. Works for the Wild, former GM. You could figure it out right away who that might be, but I won't give it away just yet. You'll have to Google it, try to figure out who I'm talking about, and let's hope he actually does join. That'll be next week's edition of Straight from the Source.